Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hi, Super Mamas. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Happy whatever day it is you're listening to. Welcome to the Super Mamas podcast, your favorite podcast with your favorite hosts. The hostess for with the mostest, Bricia and Paulina Lopez. No, you definitely are the hostess with the mostest. You invited me for lunch, and then there was like a whole ass spread of food, like out of the pages of Bon Appetit in the table. I mean, dude.
I cheat. One of my bestest friends is one of like, it's a great chef and he's always giving me great advice. So like, I have like a low-key pocket chef that I can call, 1-800 call a chef.
Oh my God.
And we were driving in Eduardo. We were trying to figure out what to make for dinner because y'all were going to come over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I told Eduardo, I was like, so what do you feel like eating? So his first thing was clam pasta. I was like, great, that's easy. I can throw that on myself and just re-wing
it. You know, just easy. Aquí algo fácil. Clams and spaghetti.
And then he was like, actually, no. I want ribs and potatoes. And I was like, well, that just opens up an entire, like.
It's like a one dish.
Yeah, clam pasta, like garlic, lemon, a shit ton of lemon, and like acid garlic, some chili flakes. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Wine, like, it's fine. You just build from there. But like, when he says ribs and potatoes, you kind of like open up an entire
door. What style?
I can take it anywhere. And this was at 12 and y'all were coming over. So I can't just like braise it. I can't grill it. I haven't taken charcoal to my house. So, you know, I'm like, I have to do everything inside. So I'm just like, what do I do? So I called my chef.
1-800 chef.
1-800 call a chef. And I was like, so here is, and like, where should I take this? So he gave me like a baseline. I'm like, say no more. I know exactly what I'm going to do.
That should be a thing. A 1-800 that you can call and ask a chef, like when you're in the middle of cooking, me like, hey, so like, this is happening right now. Where do I take it?
I did the same thing last night because Eduardo wanted shrimp pasta. And I'm like, oh, no more pasta. I'm like, too much. We already have way too many carbs today. He's like, fine. Let's have like a shrimp salad. But he also wanted a Nutella sandwich. So call my friend and he's like, why don't you just make something like a peanut Thai dressing to kind of bridge the gap between the Nutella and the shrimp? And I'm like, genius. And he's like, just do
that. That should be, you know, tell him that he should like, you know, advertise and I'd be calling too. I'd be like, so what should I do after this? I don't know.
I'm like, okay, so what do I do? He's like, just start off with peanut butter, fish sauce and vinegar and just like take it from there. Maybe a little bit of water. But that's the whole thing. Like, that's, you build from there. So then I was just building and it would just do the most, I wish I would have written down everything I put in there. The most incredible dressing. Ask mom. Mom was like, this is so good. I'm like, isn't it so great? And I'm like, so what do I do with the shrimp? And he's like, well, I would just salt, pepper. And like, that's what the dressing's for. You put it on top and then you toss it with the salad. I'm like, genius. So we did that last night. But anyway, buying back to the ribs. He said to steam them.
Dude, that was genius.
He's like, I would steam them with some chiles, some spices, some stuff, and then let that go and then create the sauce from whatever was steamed and just put it on top. And I was like, that makes complete sense because you're steaming, so it's juicy and all the fat comes down. And then after the steaming of them, I fried them and then I use that. Dude, how awesome, how great was that sauce?
I mean, the kids, I had some pictures of the kids because the kids, all their faces were like red all over. Like, Krista was
so good.
Not even looking at, she was not even looking up.
Yeah.
Well, she was devouring those.
And I just boiled some potatoes. I smashed them. I did like a light fry on them. And then I added some of that base water into the potatoes to kind of rehydrate them. It was so good. Potatoes were bomb. And then
everything
was bomb. And then the broccoli, I just blanched them really quick and just added olive oil, salt. No. Just olive oil, pepper, and garlic.
I don't know how to blanch. I think like blanching is something that...
It's just like a really fancy way of saying or dropping something in really hot water for like 10 seconds. And then, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Is this stuff?
That's what a blanch is. Yeah. And then usually you put them in ice water. but I didn't because I did it super fast. So then I just kind of let them steam a little bit more because I just want them to be a little softer. But usually blanching means dropping your vegetables on really, really hot water for about 10 seconds, taking them out and dropping them into ice cold, in an ice cold bath, an ice bath. So it stops the cooking process and it just is perfectly crispy, but also cooked through.
Mm.
And when you blanch them in salt, it already adds the salt.
Oh, damn. I love that. You're welcome, Super Mamas. You have just received a very quick lesson of cutter cooks.
I am going to tell them to start his service. I'm going to say, you should just open up a service of 1-800-CALL-A-CHEF.
For real. I would be so calling that number because I need, like, today I have cod. What do I do with the cod today?
You should do fish tacos. I did those 2 weeks ago.
I was thinking about that, fish tacos. Send me a quick tutorial.
I also had cod a couple weeks ago, and we had fish tacos. They were great, and the kids love them.
Or just share the number, and I'll be like, hello.
Yeah, I need that. You know him. You can call him.
Hello? I want to do cod.
Hello?
Hello? I want to do cod.
He gets super excited, too, which is the best part. Like, he gets really into it.
I don't know. I think he should really put that number out there and be like, you know what I mean?
And you have to send pictures in between so he tells you if you're doing it
exactly.
right.
Exactly. That's a great service.
Yes, I do.
Somebody should have that.
And he's like, that doesn't look right. I feel like you should need to add a little bit of water. What does it taste like? And it tastes great. He's like, okay, then it's good. So instead of water, so then what I did with the shrimp shell, I took all the shells and I put a little bit of water and I boiled them. So that's the water I used to like thin out the dressing instead of just regular water. That way it added some of the spice. Oh, and then he said, at the end, he's like, and I would add a little bit of sriracha at the end, just kind of add a little bit of something. I didn't have sriracha, but I had Fly by Jing's Zong sauce, and I added a little bit of that. Ooh, girl, it was so bomb. If mom said it was bomb, you know it was bomb. And was Eddie bomb. Was like, this is probably one of the best things you've done this week.
This week.
He finished the entire salad, like full on vegetables, shrimp, the whole thing.
I love that.
And his Nutella sandwich. And that's why we bridged the gap with the Thai peanut sauce.
I love that. I mean, if it was anything like what we had on Saturday, it was incredible. And we're just giving the Super Mamas ideas this week for their Thanksgiving dinner. I hope everybody has
I hope no one's having a shrimp salad for Thanksgiving. But if you are, good for you. I hope it's good.
But the broccoli or the potatoes, you know?
Broccoli potatoes. I also am like, why didn't I bring this for lunch today?
Mm-hmm. You should have. But this week is Thanksgiving. Lots of food. I actually started working out a week ago before Thanksgiving so that I don't feel as bad of all the food that we're going to have this week. But I hope everybody has an amazing time and we'll be back to tell you about our Thanksgiving.
My two Thanksgivings.
We're going to have a double Thanksgiving. We can't wait to tell you all about it. But this week on the show, we are going to actually have an old episode, a throwback episode in honor of Thanksgiving. We're going to talk to our friend, Cynthia Perez. We're going to bring back her interview. Can you tell us what is the interview a little bit about, sister?
Yeah. Well, this is a throwback. This is a recycled episode. But Cynthia Perez is here to talk about the power of giving, obviously, because it's Thanksgiving week. Since Cynthia was young, she knew she wanted to be an organ donor. And I would say this whenever that we recorded this episode, which is a couple years ago, her dream was realized. She donated her kidney to a family friend without any hesitation. And she's going to take us through her journey and talks about how some of the challenges she faced, her husband's support, which is the most important thing to have, her family's reaction, her recovery, and really break a lot of misconceptions around organ donation in our community. And this girl's taking the power of giving back to a whole new level.
Definitely is. She definitely did. Shout out to Cynthia. And that is it. Enjoy our episode with Cynthia Perez.
And have a beautiful Thanksgiving.
Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, guys. Love you.
Welcome, Cindy.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who you are, where you're from, how many children do you have? Who is Cynthia Perez?
Who is this mysterious Cynthia Perez you hear about? So I am born here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in Texas, El Paso, Texas. And then I eventually made my way back to LA. I went to culinary school. And then I met my husband, Mario, and we have two beautiful little girls, an 8 and a 5-year-old.
Beautiful. I love your husband, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We're all like family friends. And let's talk about Julian or Julian?
He goes by Julian.
Julian. Mm-hmm. Who is Julian to you?
So Julian, we've known for, I don't know, 15, 16 years maybe. Maybe even more. So we know him. Mario used to have a business partner. Mm-hmm. Her name is Roxana, who you're familiar
yes.
with. So we've known Roxana before when she was single,
yes.
right? So then she met Julian. They married, and they have two beautiful children. And I found out last year via an email, and it was a very kind of cut dry email, mm-hmm. just the facts,
yeah,
right? And it was from him, and I had no idea he was sick. And he pretty much said, I have this disease. It's called PKD. Well, my name is Julian Calabresi. I have this disease. I have two beautiful children. I live for my children. And it wasn't like a flourish kind of, I'm pleading to everybody. This is my case. This is my fact. These are the facts. And I am in need of a kidney. Mm-hmm. And the moment I read that, so let me kind of give you a brief history before this. I have always known, for some weird reason, that I was going to donate.
Really?
Always.
How?
And
how
I don't know. I have no idea. I just knew that one of my biggest sources of pride were when you get, you know, when I was in Texas, like you get your driver's license. I got mm-hmm. my driver's license at 15, right? The biggest source of pride was that little donor sticker.
Yeah.
Right? And I was very adamant with my family. If anything ever happens to me, you need to understand this is what's going to happen, right? This is, I want everything to go. I got married. I told Madhu the same thing. And I always, in the back of my mind, I always knew that if I could, I would. And that was just it. And I believe in God. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God puts you at a place, kind of aligns the universe for
yes.
you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. always.
In a way in which he facilitates and he crossed our paths. Mm-hmm. And the moment I read that letter,
mm-hmm. you knew.
I knew. And there was some of, you know, back and forth, but I knew. And it was just as easy as I'm looking at you now. I just knew. The challenge was convincing my family.
Right.
Right? And so my first conversation was with my husband. Mm-hmm. And I told him, this is what I want to do. And he immediately, which is a very logical thing, there's no way you're doing this. Absolutely not. Not my wife.
So you got the email and you said, I got this email from Julian. I'm donating my kidney to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't get it personally. I just saw the post,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to donate my kidney. And he's like, my wife isn't going to go through this. What? No, right? No. I mean, that was,
yeah.
And that was a pretty honest, pretty reasonable way of thinking. And so I said, well, you know where I stand. And I've always wanted to do this, but
right.
If I don't have your support, then I'm not going to do this.
Right.
So then I waited a couple of days mm-hmm. and I prayed about it and I meditated about it. And I'm thinking, God, what am I supposed to do? My mm-hmm. heart is telling me one thing,
right?
But I'm also not going to not break up my family, but I'm also not going to cause this rift.
Right. right.
I mean, this is a huge thing. It's not like I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. My husband, you know what I mean? Like, this is huge, right? So then a couple of days later, we talked about it again. I broached the subject again. And he pretty much said, and this is the part that every time I talk about it, it never gets old. And I always think, despite the fact that he doesn't want me to do it.
Yeah.
He looked me straight in the eyes and he said, I know where your heart is. And I don't want you to do this, but if you want to do this, I will support you 100%. Mm-hmm. That to me is gold. I mean,
yeah.
What more do you want from mm-hmm.
a partner,
your spouse? I mean,
yes.
you, like, you know, the good and the bad. This is the good and the bad.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I that's when I felt this weight lifted off my shoulders, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so started our process.
And it was not, it took a lot of turns because I immediately contacted his now ex-wife, Roxana. They have a beautiful relationship. They're co-parenting. They're raising their kids together. And so I called Roxana. She was in disbelief also. She was like, you can't do this. You have two beautiful girls. You know, what's going to happen? And I said, Roxana, we've decided, and this is it. And so started our journey. And it was over a year's time.
A year, a whole year.
Probably. Since you decided, this is what I'm going
to
do.
Yes. From the moment we decided to the conversation, to talking to the transplant center, the original one was Cedars. Mm-hmm. I went through, here's the thing, when you become a donor, mm-hmm. they don't just choose anyone. I mean, you have to go through a rigorous screening process,
of course, yes.
Right? They want to make sure that not only are you healthy, is your kidney healthy, but they want to make sure that you will live a healthy lifestyle after donating your kidney with only one kidney. So not everyone makes it through. Unfortunately, when we were at Cedars, the last screening process, after about 3 months worth of blood tests, they look at everything, was a CT scan. And they actually look at your kidney, mm-hmm. how it is anatomically. And they found that I had 4 extra arteries. So a kidney typically is, and I found this out. So a kidney typically is 1 main or 2 arteries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I happen to have 4 arteries. And so these bottom 4, and they don't share kind of jobs. They're all individual. So if you carterize one,
right,
then the section that you carterize kind of dies off, right? Mm-hmm. So they said it was too complicated. My kidney anatomically was too complicated, not for me, but for the recipient.
Right. Right.
And so they declined me.
Oh, wow.
So imagine after
3 months.
3 months, right? Oh, great. This is great. Going the great process. We were already like planning our schedules. When should we do it? Should we do the greeting? It's a great thing, right? Everything was going great. And then they just immediately slammed the brakes on us. Now imagine having to make that phone call
to Julian
saying, this is what happened, right? It was a very, very tough call. But anyhow, the flip side of that was we kind of didn't give up. Through connections, we moved centers. We went to UCLA. Mm-hmm. And UCLA happens to, they're both great centers, but they have different criteria. So UCLA happens to have surgeons that handle really complicated cases. And mine was one of them. And we spoke to the top surgeon, and he was very comfortable with it. And so everything was, okay, it's great. It's back on again. But I was hesitant because you just don't know. I mean, listen, I'm going to give you my kidney, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to go through this whole thing and not have you thrive, right? With my kidney. So we spoke to the surgeon, and my husband and I, and I flat out asked him, Dr. Gretsch. And I said, Dr. Gretsch, if I was your, this is, I always do this with doctors, like with my OB. Yeah. If I was your daughter, right, would you be comfortable giving me that kidney? And he says, absolutely. He says, nothing's 100%. Nothing's 100%. But I am comfortable. And I'm like, okay, that's all I needed to know. And so it happened. And August the 26th, we went in.
Of October?
August.
August 26th. We went in, 5 o'clock in the morning. And we did this. It was awesome.
How long was your recovery?
So the recovery was, it's supposed to take about, for the donor, it's about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. The recipient, it's a longer process, only because the recipient takes a lot of anti-rejection medication and so forth. But and he's still, I mean, his kidney's doing great. But he
still call it his kidney? No, not your kidney.
Yeah, it's not mine.
Wow.
Like, it's just so crazy.
No, I mean, it's,
oh my God,
it's
Cindy.
You have to, you can't look at it that way. Because if you look at it that way, then you're not a good candidate.
You're not letting it go.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You have to just give it away and just give it off to the universe, right?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Did you go through some sort of therapy or psychological screening, or do you get
absolutely
post? Okay.
You go part of the screening process. I spent about 3 hours with a psychologist, and they wanted to, because they need to make sure that you're doing this for the right reason. Are you expecting anything? I mean, they ask you everything. When I say everything, I mean, I'm talking everything from we'll talk about this later. But one of the things is, you know, they even go through, are you expecting money in return? Which is illegal. You can't expect anything in return. Why are you doing this? What do you expect to come out of it? How would you feel if you gave him the kidney and he didn't survive? So they go through all these scenarios, and they want to make sure that that the donor is going to be okay.
Right.
Because if they don't think they're going to be okay, then they just won't do it. Right, they don't want to put two people
at risk,
at risk, you know? So let me back up a little bit, because I kind of skipped something. So the reason why I wanted to tell my story was not the donation, which I know, I understand it's like this, it's a donation, it's a big story in and of itself. But the reason why I wanted to kind of go public is my family's reaction, specifically my mom, right? And when I told her, you would have thought the world was ending. I had this family meeting. We went to late July of this year. We went to El Paso, and we were all together. It was the first time that there's four of us, four siblings, and my mother and the spouses, we were all together. And in that trip, I got the call saying, okay, it's a go.
Yeah, you're a match.
Right? And so I'm like a nervous wreck. How am I going to tell my family? They had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
No one had any clue that what I was going through. So I sat them all down, and I sat my mom down. And I, first of all, I said, well, first of all, I'm not pregnant. Right? And the second thing I said, I've been approved to donate a kidney, and I'm going to donate a kidney. And my mom looked at me, and you would have thought that I told her that I'm going to, like, she just, what do you mean? Like, she couldn't, and she immediately went into this, how could you do this? You're being selfish. Eres egoísta. No puedes salvar el mundo. You know, and she's like, you're not thinking of your girls, what's going to happen to you? And she literally, she got up, she was all verklempt, she just couldn't handle it, and she just walked away. And so I'm like, and I just let her, you have to let them air it out.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's unfair for me to bring in, I mean, it's almost felt like I dropped this bucket of ice on her immediately. I've been going through this for a whole year. I just dumped this information on my family, right? My brother, who was the most noble, will take his shirt off for anyone. He was like, you're not thinking about your girls. You're thinking of yourself. And so my other sisters were a little bit more supportive, but they were still hesitant. Rightfully so.
Right.
Right. And it took my mother a while. It actually took her up until a week before the surgery that she finally decided she was going to come.
Oh.
And it took her coaxing from my sisters to say, you need to go. You need to be there for her, regardless of how you feel. And I was beyond grateful for that. And it took, she said she realized the morning of the surgery, when the surgeons came out and in the waiting room was my mother, Mario, was Roxana, was also Julian's brother, who also had a kidney.
A donor?
A donor, yes.
Oh, wow.
So I'll give you a little backstory on him too. So so I guess at one point, when a surgeon came out and said, look, we're having a little bit of complications. The kidney, she's okay, but her kidney is a little bit in shock right now. We're trying to kind of, I don't know, maybe kind of revive it, whatever. And so at this point, Roxana, which is Julian's ex-wife, mm-hmm. she just freaked out. And she says, you know, we have no one. We have absolutely no one. She's an only child. Roxana can't donate because she's a breast cancer survivor. Julian's brothers, which I'll tell you in a bit, can't because they have the same disease. So there's no one. And so, and my mother said that it was at that moment she realized why her daughter was there.
It's so beautiful.
You know, and so it's moments like that that I think we need to share our story because it's very doable. Mm-hmm. You can't, I shouldn't say you can't. It's what's in your heart.
Yeah.
But I just need to share my story to tell you, you can do this. And it's a beautiful thing. And you're saving someone's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so that's why I'm here.
No, it's okay.
It's such a beautiful story.
Well, let's just talk about more of the, I think that donating of a kidney is something that it's spoken about, right? There, mm-hmm. it's I want to say it's more common than we think it is.
It is.
Right? What is a kidney's function in one's, like, body? How has your body been affected post? Do you miss it? Can you, like, what is, right. Why do we
I read it letters every now and then.
Why do we have two kidneys if we only need one? Like, what, can you just maybe give us a little...
Well, I'm not a medic. I'm not
no,
a doctor.
But
okay?
I'm sure. Like, but, how do you feel
okay,
now?
So your kidney filters out all the toxins, right? Mm-hmm. Your kidney, I don't think. Again,
yeah,
I don't think is like an appendix or is like a gallbladder where you don't need it. You can survive with one kidney. Okay. My kidneys were obviously functioning at 100%. Now with my one kidney is going to eventually enlarge just a bit. And the goal is to get my one kidney functioning at about 85%. Mm-hmm. Now a human can survive. There are people walking this earth who were born with one kidney and have no clue. And they're fine. So the goal is for my kidney to be functioning at about 85%, and I will live a long, healthy life. Now, to your question, have I felt anything? Nothing at all. I mean, I live my normal life. Could I be healthier? Could I exercise more? Absolutely. Could we eat better? Absolutely.
You know, but you could have done that even with two kidneys.
Right, exactly.
It's not just the fact that you
not,
have one. Right.
My body's not feeling anything, has not felt anything. I need to be more cognizant of, you know, drinking more fluids, but nothing out of the ordinary. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. What lesson do you hope your children or your daughters take from this, your husband, your family? Have they?
I don't know. You got to ask them. I think my kids, I would like to show them what you can do. What the human body is capable of and what your heart is capable of, most importantly. Because at some point in life, you struggle and you try and do what's best for yourself. And then you say, okay, what more is there?
Right.
Yeah. ¿Qué más hay en este mundo que puede hacer?
Right.
And so you want to do something for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that's always come natural to me. I've struggled. So let me tell you what I did struggle with. I struggled in the immediately following all the praise that I got. And I felt everyone would be, oh my gosh, you're a hero. You're this, you're that. What a beautiful thing. I felt like crawl through my skin because I just was not comfortable with that position. because I almost felt like I was a fraud because mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way. And I didn't feel that way because it wasn't a big deal for me, because I always knew that this is something I was going to do.
Right.
So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I did this incredible thing. And it wasn't until I spoke to a friend of mine who is a therapist. And I explained to her, I'm like, I just feel like I feel so uncomfortable. And I said the word I hate, which I hate saying the word I hate because it's such a strong word. And I told her, I hate feeling this way, but I hate when people tell me because I feel like it's not true. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, just by virtue of you saying you're not a hero, that's very commendable to you. But you need to understand from his point of view, your actions saved his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as much as you need to honor your thoughts and your feelings, you need to honor his thoughts and his feelings and other people's feelings towards the action, that your actions literally saved somebody else's life.
You did.
And so she says, you need to marry those two together. And the moment that you make those two feelings equal, then you'll be able to understand what happened, what just transpired. And it was a learning process for me to kind of be able to live with those two emotions. Does that make sense?
So you're already growing both spirit. You're growing a lot spiritually, it sounds like.
Yes.
I will say, Cindy, that when you walked in here, you look different.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, not like in a way that you just...
I showered this morning.
Well, every time I see you, you are kind of dirty. But your gaze is different.
Yes.
Really? Your soul changed. And I'm, you know, I mean, for... And I understand. And I understand where you're coming from, because you know what you were saying, like you don't want to feel like a hero. You know, living with these emotions. But I think God is going. It's already giving you so much growth inside you, and it's already like quadrupled your soul. And your the way you look at people looks different. I don't know if anyone's really ever told you that, but
no.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You look
that.
So peace. Like there's peaceful. This peace about you. Not that you didn't have it before. It's just, there must be so much spiritual growth growing inside you, aside from, you know, everything else that you're going through. Do you know what, I don't know if you are feeling that, but you can tell by the way.
I don't feel like there's any spiritual growth. I think I've always been a spiritual person. I've always believed in God. I've always believed in, the universe, and I've always believed that there is a reason why you and I, Paulina, everyone here we're here for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I've always believed in that, and I've always believed that that we're here to help people, that we're here to help each other, mm-hmm. not just ourselves.
I must say also, even by text, because you and I were texting since before you had your procedure, and I just felt this peace about you, you know. And I remember when I spoke to your husband, I saw your husband like a little bit right after your procedure, and he just lit up when he spoke about you. And I'm thinking that you guys got closer together after this, you know, after going through such an experience.
So that's a very good point you bring up. I think we're all our worst enemies when it comes to self-love, mm-hmm. right? And it takes something like this where you're very vulnerable to realize who you are in this, how you fit into this world. Mm-hmm. I would never have done it without his support and without my mother's support. But it goes without saying that... my husband tended to me for a week and a half. I mean, we had a small scare a few days later where he drove me to the hospital at 4 o'clock in the morning. My mother stopped what she was doing for a whole month. She tended to me every day, made me food, take care of my kids. This woman is in her 70s and she was on all fours scrubbing my bathroom floor.
Yeah.
His parents, Mario's parents, it just takes an army to mm-hmm. do something like this. So it wasn't just about me. I wasn't sure, I gave my kidney to someone, but I couldn't have done it without the support of the people around you. There was no way that I could have done this. And so I'm very appreciative of that. And those are my true heroes. Those are the peers. I mean, I had friends drive in from an hour and a half just to rub my foot. You know, I had friends who showed up with food. I had friends who showed up. I had this, you know, like kind of like my surgery was kind of like a C-section, and I was, you know, my abdomen was really bloated. So she showed up with like these yoga pants and all kinds of pants to try and fit comfortably. And I had another friend who would show up and just hung out with my kids while I was, you know, totally with pain meds upstairs, and I didn't even see her. Like I had an army of people around me who showed up.
That's amazing. That's,
you know, beautiful. And that's the part that kind of goes unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it without expecting anything in return, because they're there for you and they love you. And that's what I think, that's also worth noting.
But it also talks about how, like, you did that the same way. Like, your action was selfless. Your action was without anything in return. And in return, God gave that back to you like 100 times fold.
Absolutely.
With your friends, with your family, and
yep,
constantly. And now even more and more. And yep, it's just a bigger conversation on just the power of selfless love and what it can achieve, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. Let's take a break and then come back with just maybe a pick of the week, or maybe just another. Maybe just keep talking. We'll be right back.
Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show. Okay, we're back. So how is Julian today? How is
he
doing?
He's well. He's at the tail end of his recovery. His mm-hmm. process is a little bit longer. So Julian has this condition called PKD. It's polycystic kidney disease, and it's one of many diseases affecting kidneys. And his kidneys, from what I understand, is there's cysts that form in his kidneys and they enlarge, and then eventually their kidneys lose function. Mm-hmm. So he got PKD from his mother. His mother passed away from PKD.
Oh.
He has two other brothers, and all three boys have PKD. His two other brothers have already had a kidney transplant. So he was the last one to, he was able to kind of hold off as much as possible for a transplant. And so he is doing well as, you know, he's like I said, he still has a little bit of a recovery to go, but yeah, he's doing good.
That's so great. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what we were talking off air earlier with my mom about the cultural misconceptions surrounding donation. Honestly, for me, like you were saying, it's such a pride to just click that box. I'm not a donor on my license, because, you know, you have this misconception like, well, if I get in an accident, they're going to kill me and they're going to take all my organs, you know, because that's
first of all, it's illegal, right?
Yeah. But, you know, that's what a lot of people think, that if I check that box, they're not going to do anything to save my life.
Right.
Right. So I think that's just one of them. But there's just so many misconceptions.
You also watch too many CSIs.
That was before. That was even before that, you know, like when I saw my husband's license, I was like, why are you a donor? Like, I don't know.
That's a very valid point. And listen, it has to come from your heart.
Right.
But donation, it's a very doable thing. It's like I mentioned earlier, you go through a screening process, but not everyone is accepted to be mm-hmm. a donor. But there's this, I don't know how you get past this misconception. how do you get past my mother's, our mother's misconception?
Especially in our community, right?
Yes. And let me tell you, Latinos are the highest growing demographic in need of kidney.
Yes. All that.
And we are the lowest ones that actually donate. So how is that going to work in our favor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
You know, so we really need to just take a look at it. And let's just open the conversation and make it, just normalize it.
Right.
And make it a less taboo subject. Because with information comes power.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Knowledge is power. And knowing what the pros and cons are for donating anything from... I mean, I told the caseworker that I was working with, okay, so, you know, if I'm 10, 15 years down the line, if I'm still healthy, can we talk about maybe donating something else?
Oh my God.
You know, it's just, listen, if we can.
Yes.
And
yes.
If it's doable and if you can still live a healthy life, why not?
Yeah. I mean, right? I think just by having you here, talking to you, seeing you, it just really changes my whole perspective, right? Because you have this idea, but like, knowing somebody and actually, you know, talking to you through mm-hmm. the process. And I was like, how are you? I was just very curious. It changes my mind about it. You know, I'm like, okay. I mean, I would definitely do it for my children, my right. siblings. I think it's so commendable to do it for somebody that, you know, is not part of your family, but I think it really changes my perspective on things. So thank you, Cynthia, for doing
that. Of course, thank you.
And how's your life today as a donor? Like, I know you were
like
telling us...
Like a person walking around with one kidney?
Yeah, but I know you were talking about how when you become a donor, you're part of a sort of a club.
Right. So one of the benefits from... This is kind of a... I mean, you don't want to do this for this benefit. But one of the surprising things that... kind of like a plus that a kidney donor has is if at any point in your life you are in need of a kidney yourself, and because you're a living kidney donor, they immediately jump you to the front, to the top of the list. They bypass everyone. That is something that you get, you know, benefit that you get from being a living kidney donor is you're like, you're number one. And not only do you get the first kidney available, you get the first healthy kidney available.
The best of the best.
And here's the thing, and it kind of brings me to another point.
Mm-hmm.
Being a living kidney donor is so much more beneficial to the recipient, because when you receive a kidney from a cadaver, which is a good part of the kidney transplants that happen, the life of a kidney from a cadaver is anywhere between, I believe it's about 8 years.
Wow.
That's a lifespan. Now, the lifespan of a living kidney donor, if I was to give you my kidney while we're supposed to, it just makes it to where the situation is so much more, like we can plan it, right? There's no downtime for my kidney going into you. So the lifespan is about 15 to 18 years.
Oh, wow.
It more than doubles. So let me give you an example. One of my cousins has another disease, which I can't remember off the top of my head, who his brother gave him a kidney. And his first kidney lasted almost 18 years. So, and then his ex-wife gave him a kidney and so forth. And now that's another story. But I can't stress the importance of a living kidney donor.
I think versus any organ, right?
Right. I mean, I would say yes. Again, I'm not a doctor.
We're not doctors,
so we
don't know.
I only play one on TV.
Yeah. I only watch a lot of
them on TV. And we watch a lot of CSI, so...
And what's your other one you watch?
I know medical terms.
Listen. You're with Grey's Anatomy, like I'm with the West Wing. That's like one of my favorite shows. So I know a lot of like
political terms.
I know a lot of medical terms. I know what's up.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay, sorry.
We may not come back with the Super Mama tips of the week. We'll be right back. moving on. What's your Super Mama picker tip of the week?
So it's more of a tip.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a timely because of the next few days, you know, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So my thing is, I've always been really big on when you get any kind of service, you get bad service, I'm always the first one to comment on bad service. Uh-huh. But listen, the flip side is I will always comment if I get great service, right? Mm-hmm. I am the person that writes to the corporate website and say, Bricia Lopez at your store here gave me this wonderful service, and this is why you have great service, right?
Oh, awesome.
That's just who I am. So my tip is never underestimate the power of not only feeling gratitude, but expressing it.
Mm, great.
And let 100%. Me give you an example. Mm-hmm. I have two, but the first one has just happened yesterday. So every year we go to the Grove and take a picture with Santa, right? And those appointments, they fill up very quickly. And I'm always the first one to I'm going to do this. And this is, and it's just a ritual we do. We go, we buy new dresses, right? We go to Target, we buy our dresses, and we go with his parents, and we take picture with Santa. We go to the American Girl store. We have lunch. We just kind of do the experience.
Tradition.
Yes. Right. But specifically at this, take a picture with Santa. The Santa there, he is incredibly awesome, and he takes his time, and he talks to them, and they always write him a letter, and he sits and talks to them, and, you know, this whole letter situation. And so we take the picture, and they take you to this little room so you can scan your photos, right? So you can see. And guess what? We all closed our eyes on, like, three of the photos, right? Meanwhile, there's, like, a line, like, 50 deep, right, of other people who had already schedule appointment like a month ago. And I showed the woman, and I'm like, we closed our eyes. And she's like, oh, no problem. We'll do it again. So they stopped everyone. They let us go back in. And so anyhow, so long story short is
you send the letter.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
not yet.
I talked to the manager. I said, who's the manager here? And I'm a very tactile person. I need to touch people, right? So I grabbed her arm and I said, listen. And she looked at me like, oh my gosh, here it comes. Some kind of bad news, right? And I said, we do this every year. I drive an hour. It took us like an hour and 50 minutes to get to the Grove, right? I drove over an hour to get here. I said, this is what we do every year. And you guys always offer the best service. I said, thank you so much for what you do. And she looked at me, and I think I took her. You know,
she was like, you're not complaining?
Yeah. And immediately, like, her shoulders kind of came down, and she was more relaxed. And she looked at me in the eyes. She says, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for your words. They really mean a lot. And guess what? She gave me, like, the free parking pass for all day. Like, that's a plus.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. But never underestimate the power of a thank you.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. Right. Isn't that true?
That's the best tip for Thanksgiving week. Well, you win.
My tip goes down.
You win, Cindy. Thank you so much. You're right.
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 Humans
can be so quick to judge, but never quick to be thankful.
Yes.
Positive
so
reinforcement.
And we should totally be so like true. That.
So,
and starting
so
at home, starting at home.
Right.
Yeah. With their husbands and their children.
So that's my tip.
Paulina?
I'm going to give you my tip. Well, let me give you a good tip. Well, I'm limited with a bunch of tips.
Picks. Because it is Black Friday.
Black Friday is this Friday.
This weekend.
Oh, don't get me started.
I've sealed
my wallet shut this weekend.
We have our Super Mama holiday gift guide dropping next week. Because we do one every year. We take out a gift guide of our favorite picks that we've had all year. But we have a few picks that our friends at Target sent over to us.
Yes. My first pick is the Graco Safety Surround Car Seat. This Friday, it's going to have 50% off.
That's 50.
Pretty
huge.
50.
That's not a car seat.
Like,
that's not a $10 purchase.
No,
by the way.
One of the biggest investments when you have a kid, the car seat.
And honestly, I'm kind of like low-key want to buy it, even though I'm not even pregnant yet. Because I'm like, am I going to have to wait until next Friday? 50% off of a car seat? I mean, that's pretty hardcore. There's also $100 off the Kiko Bravo travel system, $100 off.
And 50% off the BTEC monitor.
And also. we're gonna link.
Yeah. I love those monitors. They last
that's,
forever.
And that's another big investment. Yes.
Monitors and car monitors seats for
and
sure.
I love me my Target.
Yes. Oh girl. Yes. <Hello.
laughs> I mean, I'm just.
I feel like Latinas were just born with the Target gene.
I know. I'm not even. I am that woman. Maria's always like, really, you're that woman. I'm that woman. That, listen, but I show up really organized. Okay, I'm not fumbling. I'm that woman that shows up with my coupons, with my gift card, with my Target cartwheel, with my red card, everything. And they're like, they're like, oh, you saved $30-some today. And I'm like, cha-ching.
I know, yeah. Right? That's me too. I'm so proud. Every time I go and I show my cartwheel, I'm like,
you're
that's
just
me.
Like my sister. This is what you guys are friends. That is.
Listen, I'm going to show you how much I've saved. Does it show here?
It does show.
The app shows everything. Have you used a drive up?
I haven't yet.
You haven't? Girl, you
what
are missing out.
What does it say? How much have I saved?
$420?
Just by using Cartwheel.
What? Yeah. $414.
The screen does not lie.
You know what? I'm going to screenshot your thing because you're gonna want to make moms like then subscribe to that. And you still haven't used the drive up?
I have it just because. She's just like, I go inside. Target is my, like, my zen moment. This is just Target and me are one.
Oh, okay.
Target and I are one, I should say. But yeah.
Yeah. And you're why would I not want to go inside?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like FOMO, right? I'm right here. Like, why? I need to go
that dollar section, it kills. Ooh. I always tell the people when they're stocking it, I'm like, you guys need to stop stocking this dollar section because it kills me.
I know.
It's almost like that. When you, it's almost like the
addictive
the line when you're at Sephora and you're trying to pay and then there's like that little section
which like you have to put blinders
on with like travel like size stuff and you're like stop get it away from me.
But see, Target does that at the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
You go in and you're like, oh, let me see this. I know. I'm taking all of this, I'm taking everything.
And they're always smart because they're always like a season ahead.
Yeah.
So you're like, maybe I want this for when like
the, it's not that expensive. I know. It's only a dollar.
I want this fake Santa for a dollar.
I know. Nice. And then I always do like buy four, get $5 off, right?
Yes.
So then people behind me will see like, why is she stocking up for the apocalypse or what? Like, you know, like detergents and everything,
done
right?
That yet.
And then I get the gift card and then they're like, oh, you got $25. With some man behind me was like, oh man, I need to tell my wife about this. I got like $25 of the gift cards and one purchase. You know, it's just,
yeah, there
just
is
what you
a
do.
Lot of,
there's a lot of secret deals so that you guys
listen. Listen, you need to get with me because
the other day I was doing a pickup and I placed an order and then I got an email saying, oh, sorry, we don't have it available anymore. And the whole price of the item that I bought, they gave me a gift card for that amount.
Because they didn't have
no
it
way.
Because they didn't have it available.
What?
I know. I was like, should I say this secret or not? Well, I'm going to share it with you guys because I love you so much. But I mean, don't go. It's only when they don't have it, right? Mm. They don't have it. And they gave me the whole amount in a gift card. And I'm like, yes.
Let me tell you something. Going back to my tips of giving thanks, when I was pregnant, I was taking my card out. And this guy who was putting the shopping carts together, He's like, oh, let me help you, ma'am. I'm like, oh, no, that's fine. He's like, oh, no, ma'am, you're pregnant. Let me help you. Let me help you load the groceries. So I think his name was Sean, and I can still see his face. But anyhow, I made a point to look at his name tag, and I wrote to Target, and I said, listen, this guy, Sean, blah, 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 and I've never had a bad experience at Target, but you just need to know the positive reinforcement. Guess what showed up? $20 gift card like a month later on mine. But listen, it's about saying these are the kind of people. Yeah. This is the reason why.
And Sean is now the CEO.
That's right. That's right.
You are just serious goals, by the way.
Thank you so much for being here,
Thank
Cynthia.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people? Okay, we didn't even talk about your amazing cakes and like what you actually do.
Stop.
You are not just an organ donor. You are an incredible.
I'm not
baker.
An organ donor by trade. Is that what you're asking?
That's not what you do. That's all you do for 9 to 5. You are actually an incredible baker.
Incredible,
thank you.
Incredible. You brought some scones that are just like
stones.
Just like beyond of what you would find at a very fancy store.
Thank you.
You made my cake for my baby shower, which was amazing. Incredible. I was very heartbroken this year because you couldn't make my cake.
I know. I'm sorry.
You were out there donating
kidneys. I was recovering
kidneys.
From my kidney. But where can moms
buy your beautiful creations? Where's your Instagram? How can they get in contact with you?
My Instagram is pastel, cake and confections. And I'll give you the link that you can kind of put up as well. On Instagram.
Awesome.
Are you back baking?
Yes. Oh, nice. Full force, especially for the holidays. It's crazy.
I mean, you got these scones going.
I know.
Right? These seem pretty good to me.
Oh, and you haven't tried my brownies. I know. I'm known for my brownies.
No, I've tried your brownies at Disneyland. When we ran into at Disney?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Oh, trust me. I remember.
That's right. Okay.
I'm like, yes, I have.
You have. Okay.
Yes. And we are also going to be sharing some links if anyone is even thinking about donating in Oregon or has ever crossed their mind. We will definitely be linking those at supermamas.com.
Okay.
And yeah, you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes. Eat a lot.
I was reading an article that I'm actually going to link also on our site. It was from Harper Bazaars, and it talked about how you can. I know this country is going through so much, and I understand that Thanksgiving is one of these holidays that was born out of a lot of anger and a lot of horrible things to people. But I always, you know, I always say that out of the most ugly things, the most beautiful things come, and even though there's so much politics that a lot of us don't agree with, take this time that you're getting off work. Take this time to really come together as a family and really give thanks for being alive, for having a place to eat, and find a family that you can give back to.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. But this article talked about a lot of things that you can have, conversations that you can have over the dinner table. So we will link that on our show notes as well.
Awesome.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and see you next week,
Supermamas!